know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Ronde and welcome to a new A State of Trance podcast with special guests in the studio today, Juraj aka Driftmoon.
Driftmoon, yes. Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
It was nice to have you. Yeah, I'm great. It was nice to have you on the show. Hear a lot of new music in there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Driftmoon.
Yes.
And maybe even a little bit earlier. We'll get to that also in just a little bit. But first, I want to start, Juraj. Well, Mika's not here, of course. So we have to send a shout out to Mika. Yeah.
So hello, Mika.
Imaginary Mika, prepared questions for you, Mika. Nice that you're here. It's not here.
Yes.
Okay, so luckily you're here, Juraj.
Did you prepare questions for him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mika, you hear that? Yes.
Maybe we should give him a call later. So let's start. That's what I like to do with every podcast. Let's dive into the history of you guys. Well, in your case, Juraj. Where and how and when did you fall in love with dance music? You still remember your first track?
Yes,
you were like blown away.
Yeah, Paul Van Dyk, For an Angel. It was, I think, 1998. I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And a classmate of mine gave it to me on a cassette. You know, people, most young people will not know what a cassette is, but we remember. So she gave it to me on a cassette and it was Paul Van Dyk live from Gallery Terminals in London.
Wow.
Yeah, old school history. And he played For an Angel. I was like, what is this? What is this music? I need to get into this, you know? And I was, you know, I was raised with music all around me.
Yeah.
Nobody was playing any instrument, but everybody loved music. My dad had a huge music collection. And he kind of forced me to, you know, you need to listen with me to all those Led Zeppelin and concerts and stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that I want to study music as much as I can from a technical standpoint, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a different thinking about music.
So you were analyzing music and figuring out how was it made.
Over analyzing type, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when I don't know how to achieve something in music, I need to research it, like how that's done. I need to get that sound.
Uh-huh.
Especially nowadays, you know, because there is techno influence everywhere, and when it started, those techno steps, I was like, how do they make this?
You're like, here we go.
Yeah, Serum, here we go. Yes.
yeah.
So yeah, I'm the over-analyzing type and Mika is the creative type when it comes. I think it's Mika's escape point.
Mm. So you listened to Paul Van Dyk, For an Angel.
Oh yes.
That was the entry into the musical world. You started listening to all kinds of vinyls with your dad.
Yes.
Led Zeppelin and all these classics.
Yeah, CDs were a thing back then. So CDs, vinyls, cassettes, you know, DVDs, stuff like this. Everything we could get our hand on.
And then at a certain moment, you were like, okay, I want to start creating music. Do you still remember the moment that you opened the door for the first time or you were looking for like a way to start making music?
I remember I had a session with Markus Šosov and Sebastian Brand when they played in Slovakia, when I was very young.
And how did they get into your studio?
No, they were just visiting. I didn't have a studio back then.
Okay.
And they told me about Ableton and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that was Ableton 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, many, many years ago. And yeah, I installed it and immediately I closed it when I saw it. I was like, that's not something for me. But Ableton has a learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, it's very intimidating when you first open it, like every other door. But suddenly, you know, when you start picking up stuff, it goes super quickly, especially in music. Like the logarithmic learning curve is there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're having fun. And when you're having fun, you're making good music.
The funny thing is that I have a similar experience also because I was working in Reason before.
Mm-hmm.
And Markus Šosov was also working in Reason. We were good friends back then. And then he started using Ableton. And he showed me also on one of these trips that he was in the Netherlands, like, hey, this is how you use it. The first tune that I made was his remix for Mr. White, one of his tunes. And it got released straight away.
Yes.
So that was for me the first start in Ableton. So Markus Šosov got you into Ableton as well.
Yes.
Do you think he's like a secret ambassador or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Around. He was definitely sponsored like back in the day. Yeah,
he just installs
he was
it
going
everywhere.
Around the post-communistic countries like, look, guys, this is Ableton and this is what you need to do.
And then you need to buy the suite edition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything on top.
Vengeance Club Samples Volume 1. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so, and that's the moment that you started working on music. And at first it was... Well, you have to explain something to me. It was Pizza Dogs.
Pizza Dogs, yeah, that's
yes.
A long history.
So that was your artist name back then, right? Or this was there a step before that?
There was a little bit. I'm a huge gamer. Mm-hmm. I know you are as well. Mm-hmm. And Pizza Dogs was a guy who was creating like cheat codes for Windows games, like, you know, in 96, 97. And when I started playing, because I started as a DJ, I didn't know what name to pick because Juraj Kliszka is the worst, very horrible name you can have as a DJ. Mm-hmm. You cannot combine those two names anyhow to create something.
Give it up for
Jukl.
Juraj Kliszka. No.
Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah, no. We both know that's not the case. And yeah, so Pizza Dogs was a guy, and I just changed the, one of the A's for a, like at sign, you know, yeah. Internet at sign. And that was my name for a few years. And then suddenly I remember that I wanted to expand the musical horizon, and I was in touch with David from Freshly Squeezed Samples. Yeah. He was the original founding father of Jrifmu with Mika. I came in last.
But first you had a couple of releases as Pizza
Dogs,
right?
Yes. Suncatcher was my mentor from Romania. Suncatcher, Bogdan Kupcha.
Yeah.
He's a very good friend of mine. He was the one who taught me a lot about EQ and compressor in the beginning. And I remember when it was one of his originals on FSOE, and I was like, how do you make that kick? I was like, I don't even know. I don't remember.
Like, but you're skipping a lot of essential steps, I think, because from the moment that you opened Ableton for the first time with Sebastian and with Marcus,
that's
when you started making music, I guess. Or did you already make music before that with other programs?
No, that was my first.
So that's when you started making music. How long did it take you before you created something on there that you could release or that you could send out to labels?
Because I wanted to be a doctor, so I was preparing for medical school. You know, there was a lot of studying, so I didn't really have a lot of time to focus on, you know, like creation of music.
So you were studying, and in the meantime, you were making music.
But then I told my father that I'm moving to UK to study music.
He's like,
he almost disowned me. He was, he was not. He's still not happy about the decision. I think Dada can tell you, my partner who is sitting here. Yeah, she's just laughing. Like, yeah, he's not happy. And
I went to UK
to study music. I was the only guy using Ableton. Everyone else was on Logic, you know, because a lot of the guys were doing, you know, UK.
Logic is the only way. That's how a lot of people see it.
Yes, which it isn't, you know that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was one of the few classmates who actually finished studying. The only one who went to study for masters. And yeah, I've done my PhD in hybrid composition, which is basically composing for media and movie stuff like this. And
hybrid
composition, yeah, composing on a PC or a computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a study that how long did it take you to finish that?
All in total, 7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
So take us through a typical class.
Oh, that like was all online. I didn't have a typical class.
Okay.
My masters were half live in London and half online, and my PhD was fully online.
And how does a school like that work? Sorry, I don't know anything about those kinds of schools. So you go in and you work projects, or?
You know, my first album, Revolution, that was my thesis.
Really?
Yeah.
So the album was your thesis?
Yeah, my first album was my thesis, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because you have to do a lot of research. And the first album was recorded live, but it was all written on a computer with the mistakes and everything. We kept it there in the files. Then we went to London and it was recorded St. Petersburg back in the day, London in Abbey Road, and I think somewhere close to Miami because of some of the orchestra members. And yeah, so it was all recorded live, most of the parts, of course, but it was all written, produced on computer, and that was my thesis. That was my PhD thesis.
That's the hybrid thing. Like, so on one side you have the live recorded strings and orchestra
bits. No, the idea is that someone presents you with a media. Either it's a, you know, computer generated image or a video, or I need to make an advertisement, or like transmission comes to me, we need to make a show.
Mm-hmm.
I ask, what is it going to be about? Oh, we have no idea.
You're like, great.
Yeah, great. You know, write me a script about, usually I only see like black screen, just like now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay. And they write me subtitles for like 20 seconds. Now we are in water. This is happening.
Yeah.
We are on desert. There's going to be a person walking. Yeah, it's very rudimentary. It's very basic. And I just try to imagine the soundscape of where I am, what the world sounds like.
Yeah.
With transmission, it's super easy because it's all sci-fi, you know, so you can basically create anything you want, you know.
Lightsabers.
Yeah. And I do also the hard mission and tech mission, which is like the two daughter events of transmission, one for hard cell, one for techno. Hard mission was fun because that was on a sand desert planet, and I always wanted to compose, you know, with
Tatooine.
Always, you know, I'm a huge geek, so yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really troubling to recreate sand noises.
I can imagine. But again, I'm taking you back to the history because Pizza Dogs is here. You had your first releases, and you already mentioned because I think you were also part of Trends.NU, right? Or was it that where Pizza Dogs? That's why.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyways, is that how you got in touch with David when you Tell us about the birth of Driftmoon. How did you guys, because you were,
I was in touch with
you were in Slovakia, yeah, and yeah. He is in the UK.
Yeah, Mika is from Finland, David yeah. is from UK, and I'm from Slovakia. And if I remember correctly, David messaged me one day like, look, we have this funny little project and we need a guy to produce it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't know how to produce music. Mika knows how to produce music, mm-hmm. but it's not his strong suit. Same as writing melodies was never really my strong suit. I'm more yeah. of the technical kind of production guy.
The analyzer.
Yeah, analyzer. Yeah. Yeah, you know that. So, yeah, Mika, when he escapes into his little world and creates those beautiful ideas, that's like mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And he basically asked me to be a part, like, you will do the production
but
for
how did
us.
He know where to find you?
I think it was a chance that I knew. Yeah,
okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, I think so. I need to really like reach back in my memory.
I missed that site, man.
Yeah, you and me both. That was amazing. Yeah.
With Tommy and Airbase.
Yeah, Airbase was there. Yes.
After our power team, yeah. Dance Mania, Twan, of course. Yes. All the mods. It was good times. We all also had the future favorite poll. Now it's on our Discord, but mm-hmm. not back then it was on Trends.eu. One of the first jobs that I had to do back in 2007 when I became part of the team was making sure that I think it was Jesper. I'm not sure it was Jesper. That I had the track list every week, so they put it up the poll for the future favorite. Yes. That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
I wish that side would come back. Anyway, yeah. So David was on the side as well. He knew that you did those studies.
Most likely,
or
yes.
That you were
yes.
releasing music as Pizza Dogs. So Mika and David approached you to
be a part
start
of
producing it.
Yeah.
it. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened. I was part of the team, but David was starting to produce, focus on his health.
Yeah.
So he needed to step back. And I think Mika stayed for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then Mika had a lot of stuff happening in his life. And he wanted to get out of the music for a bit, focus on family, stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I stayed there alone, which was working really well for 7 years, basically. But, when I overanalyze the melodies I write, it's very easy when they're orchestral because, with those huge compositions, it's never simple. I could never really make the simple stuff work the way Mika can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the two-bar melodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was never my forte.
You're like, okay, let's do this 64 bars. And then
I was watching Giuseppe's, tutorial, and he was talking about melodies, and he used our collaboration as an example in its original length.
Yeah.
And it was 128 bars or something. Like that. I was like, you can achieve great.
No repetition, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. I don't do repetitions now. No repetitions.
So the first release that you did, correct me if I'm wrong, was in 2013 as a team up. So it was Driftmoon, mm-hmm. and then you also took in Andy Blumen. At the time, he was like the king of uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And D-Sharp.
Yes, that is.
So that was the first release as Driftmoon together with Andy Blumen, D-Sharp. Mm-hmm. A release on the State of Trance
yes.
in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
How did that collaboration come about? And how was it also back then, 10 years ago? Because the technology is so much ahead of that right now
mm-hmm.
with working together, collaborating on Dropboxes and stuff like that. How did that come about? Because if I look at this was like 5 people working on one track, right?
Yeah, normally I would never approach that idea. I really don't like when too many people put their heads together.
Yeah.
2 or 3 tops and then like enough is enough.
And then they have to shut up and you do the rest.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think it was Mika who had the original demo with Andrei mm-hmm. Matovic. And they are very good friends up until this day. Like Mika told me that they are talking every single day together.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to produce it, and I remember I used 4 Nexuses and 1 Silanth.
Okay.
I still remember the sounds, because Nexus is not really a synth, that's a rompler, it's a sampler. And then we asked Derek, who wanted to work with me on orchestral stuff. I was like, okay, record the violin for us in Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, then later. And it all came about.
Yeah, it's a monumental
track. I still don't remember. Like, I know we spend a lot of time sending projects over because Mika is working in Ableton, thank God, as well. Because that's awesome. He just sends me the small project and I open it straight away because I have all the samples he has, so that's easy. And Exodus was kind of fun track. It was short, simple, straight to the point. Funny thing, surprise, we made a new one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that.
Yeah, because first, another monumental track that was released in that year was Howl at the Moon.
Yes.
With the Solar Stone retouch.
Howl at the Moon was our first idea of an uplifting track, but my production skills were not up to the point to make it sound like worldwide level. So Solarstone, Rich came to us like, oh, I need to do a retouch and, you know, change the kick and bass, which is exactly essentially what he did. He changed the kick and bass and added some drums to make it flowing more. Still works up to this date. So yeah, that was, Howl at the Moon was one of those Mika's ideas with David. That was Mika and David on the melody as well. And I did the production and the, you know, the full length composition, stuff like that. Yeah, it's still a great track, Howl at the Moon.
Yeah, I agree. But because when I was looking into all these info about you guys, there was one of the tracks that I was like, okay, oh, I remember this one. This was a massive tune back in 2013. In the meantime, you were still studying, I guess, then?
Yes, I was finishing my master's back then.
Yeah, because when I look at your album history, the first album was 2016, which was the thesis album.
Yes, that was the
Revolution.
Thesis album. Yeah.
So in the meantime, you were still studying, but you were already releasing on pretty much the highest level.
When I finished my bachelor's, I had more time because the master's was half on site, half online, because the technology allowed you to have, you know, online classes. So that was, yeah, I had more time for production. I was making music full time. I didn't have a full daily job back then. And I remember Howl at the Moon, Exodus. We wanted heavily to focus. Do you remember Stellar, our track on State of Trance with the NASA samples?
I have to look back. There were so many tracks.
It's amazing how many tracks we made.
So Stellar, yeah.
Stellar, yeah, and that was 134 BPM, and we were undecided what's the best sort of action for us. Mika wanted it to be more slower, if I remember correctly. I wanted to go faster. Now it's the other way around. And yeah, now we are sitting at a sweet spot. Like, I know our sound. And when Mika sends me a demo, he exactly tells me like, you know what to do with it. I was like, yeah, I know. Don't worry, I know.
That's like a perfect duo then. Yeah. If you think about it. So that he's working on a lot of ideas. Basically, okay, like you have to work on this. And then you bring in your knowledge.
Sometimes he sends over a full on track, like made to the best level he can achieve as a
producer. And sometimes you do the same to him, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, hey, make sure that there's
some extra
melodies. But it
happened to us, for example, Feel the Waves, which was released this way. He sent me another one, like Feel the Waves Volume 2. And I changed it completely. Only the melody stayed there. Because the melody was, it didn't fit the key change and everything. It didn't fit as well. And I explained to him, I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't work. Let's focus on a new one. And he's totally fine because he knows that we will have another one. You know, I was preparing my set on Friday. I was like, I'm going to play this one, this one, this one. Saturday morning, he messages me, I've made a new track.
You have to include this.
Yeah. And no, he didn't tell me.
Okay.
Because he didn't expect me to finish it in half a day. I was like, okay, how long is it? He was like, yeah, 5 minutes. I was like, that's enough. Send me the project. And full track done in half a day, one studio session, and we are finished.
I'm so jealous of that, man. So sometimes you just have that flow. And maybe if you are two guys, that, you know, that it amplifies or something, amplifies the flow. Or is it...
I never produced with him in a studio.
Never?
No. We've been together with the studio, but I don't think we would be compatible in person, in studio. We are compatible as people. We are compatible as friends. But I like to leave my head around and be super quiet when I make music and, you know, overanalyze, overfocus.
Yeah.
And then I work super quickly. Like, I can scroll through tens of samples and that one, create our own. Mika likes to, you know, go back to the stuff, you know, or try different melodies.
So you would annoy each other in the studio?
I think so. Yeah. I honestly believe we would in the studio. Because when he sends me a project, he's like, Juraj, I'm done. You can take over. I'm like, perfect, perfect. You will have it in... Usually when I tell him, okay, on Monday I have work, then I have another studio session with a client, you have it on Tuesday. And he's like, perfect, let's do this.
And now you sit on 40 tracks or something.
More than 40
tracks. You have the album coming in May.
We have 40 contenders, album contenders, we call them. There's a lot of the stuff which doesn't even have a title yet. You know, it's just Mika Demo 001, for example. Dada is laughing because she knows. With our titles, you know, for example, the one track I played today, which is the first track, it had totally different album track title. And I told him, Mika, this is a condom brand here in Slovakia.
Yeah, he just put it on there.
No, I was like, okay, we have to use another name. So it's a process, yeah. But there is, for example, a track called, one of the first ones we wrote when Mika joined back. No, I don't even remember now. That's the funny thing. And we tried, you know, many, many times to make it sound in different keys, different melodies. Suddenly we realized the idea doesn't work.
Yeah.
not in trance. You know, we can scrape it. Mika, you can give it to one of your clients if you want. He can maybe achieve something with it. But to have so many tracks, now we can create a story with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of different, we have a beautiful track with Diana Miro coming out in 2 weeks, which is acoustic ballad I wrote for Dada because she writes poems.
Oh, okay.
So I took one of, yeah, she's shy. So I took one of her poems and I wrote the music for it, and she loves Diana Miro's voice.
So Diana performed her, performed your
poem. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's, she took the lyrics or the original text and kind of gave it her own vibe. Of course she did. But it works because I can feel the poem in there. And it's the first track you, I think you can hear Diana in, that she's singing for 4 minutes straight. Like, it's not a trancey progressive breakdown for a minute. No, she's singing like a full-on pop song, yeah, acoustic.
But that's where she wants to go with the Diana Miro project. Because yes, on the other side, you have her new project where...
88 Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she does her all her, how do you say it, her dance music kind of things. And I know that she's working on a lot of like electronic, deeper... poppy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I love her. She's a great person, but the things that she writes and sings is unbelievable. Like a whole different ballpark.
You know, I work with a lot of singers, professionals and amateurs in my life, but when she sent me the files and I dropped them in, I was like, oh, that is just
perfectly processed.
Yeah, perfectly processed, perfectly positioned. You know, I had to, of course, do the final tweak so it fits with the music, but I was like, yeah, this is it. I don't need to do no little bit of reverb.
Where's the challenge? No.
Yeah, where's the challenge? Yeah, exactly.
You can just drag and drop.
And it's going to be out on Raznica Music.
Okay.
And Raz was like, I can't even mix those vocals. I was like, yeah,
really?
Your job is done. Yeah, he didn't do the mixing.
Well, and on he's the one of the best he's mixers the, in the world with vocals.
So. Yes. Yeah. I always tell him, like, we signed 2 or 3 more tracks with him. I think two. Two? Raz? Two. Yeah, Dada knows. Of course she knows.
Dada knows.
Two more tracks with him. And he always processes. And I'm like, please do the processing yourself. You will always get it better than I will because I'm not a vocal mixer. But this was the first track he told me, like, we can release your mix, Juraj. Like, I don't need to do anything to this. I was like, oh.
Wow.
And that was her processing. Only a little bit of EQ and...
Diana, you have to take that one because Raz is one of the best vocal producers in the world. So, nice one.
And I was super surprised that he took it because it's 115 BPM.
Yeah.
It's not trance. It's super acoustic ballad. It's a slow piano ballad. And I was like, yeah, I love it. Like, we're going to make a club mix out of it. Of course we will, but yeah.
Awesome. So you already mentioned like Mika came back after a longer time.
Yes, 7 years.
Early this year.
Mm-hmm. Early January.
He January
messaged
me,
back. I think end of December.
And he left, of course, in 2016.
Something like that.
Something like that. To focus on other things.
Yeah.
So that left you all by yourself. But you went on, of course, with releasing music. And suddenly he messaged you, I want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Because I was like, I remember that you sent me an email, hey, Mika's back in the project. This is the first promo. Like, what? Mika's back? Okay, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So people were messaging me like, oh, Drift Moon, but you are... I was like, I'm not Drift Moon. I'm the face behind Drift Moon, but yeah. I'm not the Drift Moon.
Drift Moon is the sound.
Drift Moon is the sound.
The feel, yeah.
Yeah, the feel, the sound, the overall, you know, landscape of sound, I call it. So Drift Moon, I represent it, of course, but I want to change it with Mika. Hopefully next year when he will feel... when he will be feeling better, he can come with me to gigs. He doesn't DJ, so I know it's difficult to bring two people around the world with flight tickets and everything.
Yeah,
if he doesn't really DJ,
yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
So, but there are events where I really want to take him. Like, for example, if we ever go to a State of Trance, I want to bring him there.
Transmission, yeah.
So there are events I know he will go, you know. And Mika emailed me, you know, end of December, like, you know, I've done a lot of thinking. Like, I have great ideas, but, you know, no way of... kind of taking them where I want to take them. And I just messaged him, yeah, come back. You know, I own the brand. I bought Drift Moon brand, so I own it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, let's do everything equally, 50-50, share. Like, let's do it professionally now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are friends, we will be friends, but, you know, Dada will be taking care of everything. You know, you can ask her anything. She knows all the contracts, she knows all the finances, she knows everything about the project. She met all my clients, you know, the business clients, my corporate clients, so she deals with them. And I told him, like, I've made a lot of music before you emailed me, but let's scrape it. You know, I will keep the projects if we ever want to, you know, use them.
You can always look back at them,
yeah. You can always go back in time. But send me what you have. And he sent me a few ideas. He was like, I can always write more. That was in January. And now he writes like 7 tracks in a week. Dude, it's insane.
Unbelievable.
Last week, Wednesday, he sent me a track. I played it today And I was like, yeah, okay, 2 days. It took me 2 days to finish it. I'm so happy. Friday. Oh, I wrote a new one. I was like, yeah, this one probably doesn't fit. So I will not finish this one immediately. I will finish it for the album. Saturday. Okay, so I made a new one. And I was like, dude, okay, this one fits. I have to go to studio on Sunday. I wanted to have a day off. So yeah, that was finished on Sunday. Sunday, yes.
So now the album is coming up. And in general, when you look at albums right now, it's most of them is like 10 tracks, something like that. And they already get released because the whole idea of albums has changed so much in the last few years, right? Because if you upload a lot of tracks at the same time right now, Spotify might take one or two. It will get featured. The rest just kind of disappears, I guess.
Yes.
How do you want to make sure that you're going to release, let's say, 40 tracks on the album spread out, that some of them are just going to disappear into nothing?
We don't really think so because every track on the album so far is incredibly special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have heavy metal track there, pop track, acoustic music there, piano ballads. So you can all promote them differently.
Yeah.
But the strongest trans releases we have there, we know already for a fact that they will be released before the album.
Okay, yeah.
So we're just going to introduce them in a new way. So look, this little track, which will be out, you know, for example, on Armada, you can get it as part of the album here. It tells a big story, you know, melodically. Because the melodically, I wrote down the tracklist the way I would like to see it because the way it makes more sense to me.
The progression
of music as I wanted, you know, the complexity of the music, you know, different chord progress, because you cannot start with heavily, you know, chord influenced track because it doesn't make sense. But yeah, we have a heavy metal intro, which people will be really surprised, but I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, it was one studio session with a friend of mine who is a guitarist. Dada loves it as well. Her father is heavy into heavy metal, so he was like, yeah, that's good. Like, yeah!
Okay.
I have a singer from the UK, I don't want to say who yet, but and when he sent me the vocal files with the metal belting,
yes,
that's awesome, yeah.
I'm very curious what that sounds like, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very different. There is the few tracks with Diana, hopefully, other vocalists, very well-known vocalists, and the only collaboration we have there is with the guys from Hellsloat.
Okay.
Yeah, the Hellsloat track. That was a progressive demo Mika wrote, I produced, and I sent it to the guys like, guys, you are the, I would like to make a collab with you, you know? And they were like, yeah, let's do this. So they are working on it right now. That's the only collab with other producers so far because we haven't really reached out to people if they want to work with us yet. And I know under such a, Ruben, would you like to work with us on another?
Sure. Let's do it. Yeah.
We have ideas. Perfect. Yeah. I'll send you a few so you can pick. Which
we'll talk about it with Dana.
Yeah. Yes. Talk.
I learned fast.
Yes.
Okay.
Email my manager.
Yeah. Exactly. So the album is coming early next year, April-ish.
Yes. So the baby is on due 1st of May.
Okay.
And it's not a problem for me to have the music done in January or by the end of this year even. That's not a problem. The problem is I want to make sure everything is delivered in a way to a label that it gives them time enough to prepare the package because they will ultimately decide what's the order of the tracks, how we're going to split it. You know, will it be split into 3-4 sections, you know, and 2 months each, how you're going to do it, how you want to split it. So it makes it super easy when it's only our music because for us it doesn't really matter if you release it in January or June. You know, it's fine. We have so much music.
Mm-hmm.
But Mika and I spoke about this and we were like, we only want to make like very strong releases from now on.
Yeah.
It's like that Melody Express track you heard the last.
Yeah.
That's on FSOE. And even I was afraid when I was sending into FSOE because like, that's a lot of Alien Fila sound influence there. Like I don't want to copy people. I would never copy anyone, but it fit the style and it fit the melody. And they loved it as well and they signed it.
Super catchy melody.
Yeah. Mika's melody. Mika, good job. Yeah.
So... Okay, so the album's coming up and some big shows are coming up as well.
Yeah, so we're playing Transmission. I'm doing the warm-up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I have the Epic residency almost each month. I wasn't really saying yes to bookings for this year. With the, you know, baby, we are moving house in December. I want to make sure everything works perfectly at home first before I go and leave for
a week.
You know how it is. Yeah. So by the end of December, when we are moved in, the new studio is moved in because I'm finally building a proper studio. Mm-hmm. Finally. And after that, you know, taking promo pictures with Mika, making promo content. And then when the album is due, we will be open up for the gigs.
Awesome.
From early next year, I just want to make sure everything is, you know, everything is prepared.
Everything makes sense.
Everything does make sense. That's the worrying thing. Nothing is like, oh, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. Oh, looking forward to the album, to be honest.
Thank you.
The last thing I want to touch base on, because I'm a huge progressive lover, and mm-hmm. you release music under an alias.
Mm-hmm.
Freo. Yeah, because
we call
there's
it
a
Freo, but
little
yeah,
dot on
we
the
call
e,
it Freo, so. But it's pronounced Frey. Frey.
What is happening with that? Because you set that up, I think, before Mika came back to Driftmoon.
Yes.
Was that an outlet for yourself that you okay? Driftmoon is, you know, you're doing it by yourself. You might as well start something else at the side, or is it something that you want to continue in the future? Or?
When I was solo, it didn't make sense for me because. For the 7 years I was, you know, on the way, Driftmoon is an uplifting trance, it's fast type of music. And it didn't make sense for me in any way I was looking at it that suddenly I will start releasing progressive music because I'm making a lot of progressive music for my clients. Yeah. I make a lot of techno music for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really like the style. Like, you know, I want to make music for myself, but something really deep, really melodic, you know, like Freys.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to make a new kind of project for it. I'm going to release my own music under Frey. Not sure if Mika wants to be part of it. We haven't discussed it, to be honest. But Mika writes amazing progressive music. Yeah, he does. So this is something we can definitely approach next year when our Driftmoon stuff. But yeah, I will make more music. I have like 7 or 8 projects for Frey.
For Frey.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last one started in December last year and then Mika emailed me and I didn't touch them since.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, please keep on making fantastic music. I don't have to worry about that because you guys have so much music. You can release something every single day, I think, for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Next year.
Yes, yeah. Next year for the end of
for the
this
coming
year.
Years.
If we steal Mika's demo folder.
Combine it with yours.
We can get to September next year, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to welcoming you back also for when the album is coming out. Maybe Mika can make it into the studio.
Mika,
as well.
If you're listening to this, yes, Ruben is officially inviting you to the studio. So please come here.
Yes, we'd love to see you. In the meantime, thank you for coming by. Good
thank
luck also, Dara, for the coming months, getting the baby studio ready. Little synthesizers and little compressors.
The baby's getting a synth. Like Dada, the baby's getting a synth. You know. Yeah, thank you.
First word is going to be.
What kind of synth?
No. Solid state or something like that. It's like first names that they're going to learn. Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions, you and I of Driftmoon. Next time we're going to be back with a new State of Trance podcast with on his spot right now, Maria Healy. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal.